We continue this morning looking at places of our faith, examining some of the places in the Old Testament that we find God revealing God's self to us. So I invite you, if you will, to turn with me in the book of Exodus, the 17th chapter, Exodus chapter 17. And I invite you to hear now God's word. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by the stages as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I'll be standing there in front of you on the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts and our minds be pleasing in your sight. You who are our rock and our redeemer, our strength, and our salvation. Amen. The word complain, it means to express dissatisfaction or annoyance about a state of the affair or of an event. Express dissatisfaction or annoyance about a state of affairs or an event. I want you to go with me to the place that we call the most magical place on earth, Disney World, Walt Disney World. The most magical place on earth sometimes feels anything but magical. Take yourself there. The complaining abounds. We're too hot. We're thirsty. We're hungry. And don't forget the lines. The lines are so long, and we have to wait in them for such a short ride. And then you look up at the sign at the wait time of the ride, and you sit there in dread of even stepping foot into the line. Because the line is so long at the most magical place on earth. Why didn't we see my favorite princess today? Do we have to ride the bus back to the hotel again? I'm tired. I'm hot. I'm thirsty. I am sick of you people. The most magical place on earth. Sometimes for those of us who are enjoying our time there feels anything less than magical. And if the complaints within your family aren't enough, all you have to do is listen to the families around you and the things that come out of mothers and fathers and grandparents' mouths that probably should not ever be said in public are said loudly there in the most magical place on earth where complaints seem to abound. Here, friends, is where we find the Israelites today. Not perhaps in what they would call the most magical place on earth, but instead into an environment where their complaints are abounding. Let's remind ourselves of the backstory to where we find Exodus 17 today. So you'll remember that the Israelites, the people of God, God's chosen people, have been living in Egypt. They've been under the hand of Pharaoh. They've been tested and tried and dealt with plagues in order to try to correct all of their behaviors. And they've endured all of that. And God has called forth from them Moses to be their leader. And God has called them to let Moses lead them out of Egypt and towards the promised land. And so Moses has done just that. Prior to this story, Moses has lifted his staff up at the Nile River and allowed the sea to part and for the people to walk upon dry land, leaving behind Pharaoh's army to drown. And so now they've made their exit out of Egypt, and now they're into the glorious land called the wilderness. And it's hot in the wilderness, and it's dry in the wilderness. And there's nothing to eat and there's nothing to drink. And the Israelites are wondering, Moses, what have you done to us? We were promised that life was going to be better out of Egypt. But the Back to Egypt committee formed almost as soon as they got out that said life was certainly better back then. And then they're complaining. They're complaining just before this in Exodus 16. They're complaining because they're hungry. They're starving. There's nothing to eat. Moses, what in the world are you doing? And God in God's grandeur and God in God's splendor rains down bread from heaven in the form of a flaky substance called manna that the people said, what is it? And it was provided for them the food that they were to take just enough for today to sustain them for this moment in time so that they could make it until tomorrow. And so the people of God, the Israelites, have encountered this miraculous work of God on not only getting them safely out of Egypt, but now God has rained down bread from heaven on them, and yet they are still complaining. That Back to Egypt committee is working hard. It was so much better then. At least we had food and we had drink. What is it that's happening here? Maybe we should go back. And they're thirsty. They're so thirsty because it's hot and it's dry and it's barren out in the wilderness. And so they complain to Moses. Moses, we are thirsty. We are dying of thirst out here. What are you going to do about it? And then they begin to question the integrity of their leader. They begin to question Moses. And they said, Moses, what? Are you crazy? You said for us to follow you. Did you really just bring us here into the wilderness so that we might die of thirst? And by this time, Moses is kind of like those parents at Disney World. Moses is pretty fed up with the Israelites. And Moses says to God, God, what in the world are you going to do about these people? All they're doing is complaining because they're hot, they're tired, they're thirsty, they're hungry, and their list goes on and on and on. What is it that you're going to do about that? Friends, you and I sometimes behave like the Israelites. We complain and we complain and we can complain and we can complain some more. Life isn't ever good enough. We don't ever have enough. We don't have what we want. And certainly something was better back in Egypt. But at the heart of the Israelites' complaint is this one question that we find in verse 7. Is God with us or not? Is God among us or not? At the heart of their complaining is this deep sense of wonder about where is the presence of God in the midst of our wandering in the wilderness. And you and I find ourselves in that same spot from time to time. When we have our wandering in the wilderness moments, we wonder, is God with us or not? Has God left us? Has God abandoned us? Where is God in this? God, are you with us or not? We wonder perhaps when we learn of a terminal diagnosis. God, are you with us or not? When we look around at all of the natural disasters that seem to be happening, we wonder, where is God in the midst of all of this? Where is God as people suffer? We lose a job, we have strife in our relationships, we search for answers, and we wonder, where is God? God, are you with us or not? The Israelites' complaint against God commands Moses, and the Israelites' complaint against God sends Moses straight to God to say, what in the world am I to do? And God says, Moses, go out ahead of them. And you know that staff, that one that you use to divide the sea so that the people could walk on dry land? Take that same staff and hit it against a rock and see what happens. Wait. The people wonder, is God with them or not? Let me show them, God says, that I am with them always. And so Moses does exactly that. Moses walks to the rock and takes his staff, and we can see him. It's almost dramatized in the scripture. He lifts it in his hands, and we can see him piercing it onto the side of the rock. And out of the rock flows water, gushing forward. The very thing the Israelites had complained that they did not have, here God provides it to them. In the most striking of manner, God chooses to bring life to the people. God chooses to bring life to them in the form of the water. And the water freely flows abound around them, symbolizing to them and to us that God is with them always. Perhaps this water is also symbolic of God's intention for life to abound. You see, the people complained because they were dying of thirst and they thought that they were going to die. And yet our God says that death is not the answer. The answer is life. And here is the water to prove it. Out of Egypt and out of the wilderness, God will always make life flow in the most unexpected of ways. God allowed for life, for water to flow in the midst of barrenness. A fulfillment for the Israelites that they needed this water in order to survive. A reminder that God brings life in barrenness. God brings hope out of despair. God brings possibility out of the impossible. We don't get to hear the people's reaction when the water flows and gushes out of the rock. I am curious what their reaction is and what they said. And did they run forward with cups of water? And did they want to take baths in the water? I wonder what they did. We don't learn of their reaction. Only what we learn is the name of this place. The name of this place is Massah and Meribah. The word Massah means temptation or test. Meribah means complain or strife, struggle or quarrel. So the name of this place receives a name that carries with it the meaning of temptation, test, complaining, strife, struggle, and quarrel. It's interesting, friends. It's interesting that the other places of our faith that we've journeyed together, when we went to Moriah and Abraham was invited to sacrifice his son and God provided the lamb, the place was named, surely the Lord is in this place. The place was named after the action of the Lord. And then again in Bethel, where Jacob saw the ladder of the angels descending and ascending up and down from heaven. And Jacob realized that God was with him and named the place Bethel, house of God. Again, a name reflective of God's actions. And then Peniel, where Jacob wrestled with the angel. And all night Jacob wrestled, and really what did is Jacob wrestled with God. And named the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face. Again, naming the place based on the actions of God. But here we find this place of our faith named not after God's actions, but yet after the actions of the people. The people who were tempted and tested. The people who were complaining and were in strife and were quarreling and struggling. It's as if this place was named somehow to memorialize the fears, the questions, the doubts that God's people always seem to have. We will always complain. We will always wonder. We will always doubt. We, after all, are humans. Human beings who are capable of complaining, wondering, fearing, and doubting. We are flawed. Flawed and constantly in need of a reminder that we need something outside of ourselves in order to navigate life. So perhaps Massah and Meribah are there as a reminder to us that without God in our lives, we simply are nothing. But our complaining and our struggling and our striving, even in the midst of a relationship with God, we can complain and we can struggle and we can be in strife, but we can know that we do it with the assurance that God is with us and that God is working in our lives in the midst of all of that to let life flow from our pain, to let life flow from our heartache, to let life flow from our disappointment, to let life abound in the midst of our fear. You know that I have a deep love for the mountains. It's the place that I call home and a place that's near and dear to my heart. And one of my favorite things about the mountains is that you can be driving up in the mountains and almost out of nowhere is a natural spring or some sort of water source. If you've ever driven from the place that I call Cullowhee and the place that I call home up towards Cashers, many of the places that you find alongside of the road are these majestic waterfalls, Bridal Veil Falls, Rainbow Falls, natural springs and water sources that just seem to be present in the midst of the mountains. Because our God is a God that wants to remind us every single day that God is about life. Those water sources that seem to spring out of nowhere are the reminder that we are invited. We are invited to find safety and security in God's presence. Massah and Meribah, the mountains in which God chose to do his miraculous work of letting the water flow in the midst of the wilderness. But safely there in the midst of those mountains, perhaps in the cleft or in the overhanging, water flowed. Water flowed as a reminder that God is a God of life. To the Israelites, God offered life-giving, flowing water. There's another story found in the New Testament. In the New Testament about Jesus. And Jesus sees the Samaritan woman. And Jesus says to the Samaritan woman, I am the living water. Whoever drinks of this water I will give them will never be thirsty. The water I give them will be a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. Jesus, the full expression of God's love, offering life to God's people. This morning, we approach the table. We approach the table and once again encounter a message of life. A message of life that was given to us through the broken body and the poured out love that freely gushed onto the world for the salvation of God's people. So today we celebrate with our brothers and our sisters around our world, and we remember that many suffer, many wonder, many doubt, many walk through barrenness, many complain. And yet into the strife and threats of nuclear warfare, into the pains of hungry stomachs found throughout our world, into the barrenness of Puerto Rico and the devastation of Mexico, Texas, and Florida, our God flows life freely upon God's people. And you and I are invited to seek for that life and to put our faith in the one that always, always showers life. May we put our faith in God as God in Christ has promised life to us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.